Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Going to read, pardon me, a number of verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You notice God does not argue His existence.
Amen.
He states it as a fact. And He states what He did in the beginning.
Right.
We move on. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth," and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. What? Nothing else? How about that? Make you pause and think. Maybe some of these people with their PhDs at stupid universities that are so dumb they don't get it, So dumb. Something that mankind has gotten all through the time of God's creation, suddenly this generation doesn't get it. They're not very smart, are they? Anyway, we move on. Verse 29. Now, where was I at? I was at 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, I said, preacher, why'd you read that whole chapter? Because there's one thing I want to teach you today, and that is that God made divine differences in his act of creation. Amen. Differences that have not changed. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I beg you again this morning for the filling of the Holy Ghost of God. Dear Father, please speak to our hearts. Ground us that we not be blown about by every wind of doctrine and the fallacies of the world that wants to explain our God away. But Lord, you're the one they're going to answer to one day. So then every one of us should give account of himself to God. Have your way in every heart. Save the lost, we pray, for we plead it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me say right now, for any teenagers, how many teenagers do we have here? Raise your hand if you're a teenager. Teenagers. All right, you need to get this. Because what I'm going to give you today, they don't teach in the public schools. You need to get this. You're not going to get it out of any of these museums that are around unless it's run by Christians. You're not going to get this. You need to get this. A lot of your friends have already been hoodwinked to think that there's something that God didn't create. And they're not. They have been deceived by the world. How many young singles do we have here? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Young singles. We don't have too many in the auditorium. Most of them are back in junior church, I think. All right, but we do have a few. You need to get this. You'll not be taught this at UAH. You'll not be taught this at the University of Auburn. You'll not be taught it at the University of Alabama. You won't be taught it at the University of North Alabama. You won't be taught it at Alabama A&M. We could name a whole lot of schools. You're not going to be taught this at those places. They run those people out of those schools a long, long time ago because you can only preach what the so-called intelligentsia, you can only believe what they tell you you can believe. Therefore, you've got to get your shots. Oh, I just slipped in there. I'm sorry. And adults, you need to get this. The Bible says, and God said, and it was so. It does not say in the beginning there was a giant explosion. And out of that tremendous heat and all that explosion came life. Listen, Marvel couldn't have written that any better. DC Comics, because it's a fairy tale. All came from a big explosion. What kind of silliness is that? They've got you so hyped up on Star Trek and Star Wars. You've seen so many different creatures drawn CGI, and you think somehow there's some kind of reality to it, and there's not. And God said, and it was so. He divided the earth from the firmament. He divided the light from the darkness. He divided the days of the week and the seasons of the year. God divided the species after their own kind. And God made very clear distinctions in things. It seems like man, in his foolishness, has been trying to attack God, thinking somehow that they are smarter than God. I read an article this last week on David Cloud's website. He talked about a Gallup poll that was finished, evidently. It came out on June the 8th. And here's what it said. This is a Gallup poll of ignorant Americans. Listen, we can be as dumb as anybody. Americans follow the fads of Hollywood and People magazine as easy as any group of people on the planet. Now, here's what the article said. U.S. support for legal same-sex marriage continues to trend upward. Now, get this. I was floored by this. Now, according to Gallup, at 70%, a new high in Gallup's trend since 1996, the latest figure marks an increase of 10 percentage points since 2015, which means we've gotten dumber. When the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that all states must recognize same-sex marriages. So today, 70% support same-sex marriage, and it marks a new milestone in a trend that has pointed upward for a quarter of a century. A small minority of Americans, 27%, supported legal recognition of gay and lesbian marriages in 1996 when Gallup first asked the question. Now, I read that. I was astounded. Because you realize you take the total number of people that go to churches. There's a whole lot of people going to church today that think same-sex marriage is okay. But I'll guarantee you there are a lot of young people who have been brainwashed by the educations they've been getting, the things they've been seeing on the Internet, and the things that they have been hearing in their schools. They have been brainwashed to accept this like there is no damage. Anytime you go contrary to the Word of God, you're walking on dangerous ground. We are bringing up our young people to deny the very truth. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And it's Jesus who said in his high priestly prayer to the Father, "Thy word is truth." And it still is. God made distinctions. I want you to notice a few of them that the world tries to do away with. Number one, between the Creator and creation. It says, in the beginning, God. Before there ever was a world, there was God. He has always been from eternity past through eternity future. God has always been. He always will be. He was around before the first man was ever created. And when the last man on this planet dies, God will still be doing just fine. He's God. There's a difference. We see the antithesis of this in Scripture. Now, that sounds like a big word that's hard to say. And so every once in a while, preachers use words like that to make them sound smarter. But I want you to notice Romans chapter 1. Turn over to it. Romans chapter 1. The difference between the Creator and creation. Notice the Scripture says, beginning in verse 22, professing themselves to become wise, or to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, man does not like God's distinctions. God made man different. Man is not God. Man is not omniscient. He is not omnipotent. And I don't care how many computers he builds, or how many little viruses he creates in his labs, whether it be at Wuhan or any place in the world. God is God. Amen. Man may be able to kill some people, but he cannot kill God. They proclaimed God is dead back in the beginnings of the 19th or the 20th century, and they were wrong. He's still doing just fine. Man tries to get away with making a difference between Creator and creation in idolatry. Those who worship creation over the Creator is idolatry. We got a lot of people doing that today. They think the earth is more important than God's highest creation, which is man. We're hearing all the time, man is evil. Man is evil. We got to do away with man. That's the problem on the planet. No, sin's the problem on the planet. When man turns to the God of heaven and walks according to God's word, then the earth can have life. But I'll remind you that in Leviticus chapter 18, when God talks about the abominations of the people of Canaan before Israel went in, He warned Israel. He said, if you do the same things, you will defile the land. It is sin that defiles the land, not the factories. By the way, according to evolution, to show you how ridiculous some of the arguments of these people are, before, under the theory of evolution, we have had at least five ice ages. There was never a factory made, and yet the earth warmed and cooled, warmed and cooled, warmed and cooled, without there being one factory, without there being one fuel-driven car. It warmed and cooled, it warmed and cooled. We said, climate changes every day. It changes every year. It always has. Have you heard about the icebergs melting up in Iceland? We just had a missionary here to Iceland. Well, guess what they found when all the ice melted in some of those places? They found things that had been made before the iceberg showed up, which means it wasn't always there. And it'll come back. Do you get that? Remember, Al Gore was saying, we aren't even supposed to be here now, according to what Al Gore was saying was going to happen. He got it all wrong, but they lift him up as some kind of really smart guy. Well, he was. Look at all the money he made from it. He left his money. Now, isn't this amazing? The carbon footprint is really bad. But if you'll give us so much money, we'll allow you to leave it. Well, then why can't I leave mine? Boy, he made a lot of money from that too, didn't he? Selling carbon footprints. The cars that he had, the limousines, the jet rides, these hypocritical Hollywoodites. I'm telling you, they know more than God. Don't get me sidetracked. I'll never get done. Let's get back to it. Man does it by idolatry. Man does it by evolution. That all we have around us, they say, is a product of chance. That nature did it itself. And they want to say herself, of course. It reminds me of the story. Sir Isaac Newton had a replica of the solar system that was made in miniature. In the center of it was the sun with its retinue of planets revolving all around it. A scientist entered Newton's study and exclaimed, "My, what an exquisite thing that is. That is beautiful. Who made it?" And Newton replied, "Nobody." The guy looked at him. He said, "You must think I'm a fool." He says, "Look at the detail. It's obvious somebody made this. And he's a genius." Well, Newton arose and laid a hand on his friend's shoulder. And he says, "This thing is but a puny imitation of a much grander system whose laws you and I know. And I'm not able to convince you that this mere toy is without a designer and maker, and yet you profess to believe that the great original from which the design is taken has come into being without either designer or maker. Now tell me, by what sort of reasoning do you reach that crazy conclusion?" There's a difference between creation and the Creator. There is a distinction between human and animals. Notice verse 26 of chapter 1 of the book of Genesis. Chapter 26. Chapter 1, verse 26. "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.'" Man has been seeking to link man with the animals for the last two centuries. Animals were created for man, not vice versa. Man is not there for the animals. Animals were created for man. Scientists have seen the proof in evolution. I mean, here's how they saw the proof. Do you realize that they saw a monkey hit another monkey with a stick? That proves that he's part of the evolutionary system. They had never seen that before. That's absolutely amazing. This true story, 1974, a chimpanzee in the Portland Zoo by the name of Delilah had been given, well, had been put in her presence some poster paints. And Delilah got the poster paints, began to fool with it, got her hands in it and her toes in it, feet in it. And she began putting those things on paper. And the zoo thought, what a great idea. We'll sell these things. It'll help raise money. And so this artistic chimp, their works were so well received that the zoo had been selling the paintings for a long time. Now, a Seattle organization called the Foundation for the Advancement of Human Awareness presented the chimp an award for advancing a better understanding of animals among the human population. The recipient a couple years before that same award was Henry Kissinger. Isn't it strange that man is the only species on the planet that cares whether or not the animal they're looking at is the last one? I doubt that there's a lion walking the planet who, as they get ready to run down a wildebeest or a zebra or something more rare, who says to the others in the pride, you know, we better be careful. That could be the last one. They don't do that. Why? The animals were created for man. Why such ridiculous stuff? Because man wants to destroy God's differences. Then there's the difference between male and female. You look at verse 27. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Find me a verse that says he created anything else than the human species. That's what God did. Everybody has understood that. By the way, people even understood that before God gave the Bible. Right. You're either male or you're female, one or the other. Now, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll not take the time to read those verses. We've been through them before in detail. But God created man and woman differently. He created man out of the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into him. The woman he created out of the rib of man. He also created man and woman for different purposes. They are also spelled out. And he lets us know that even when we pray, man and woman are to look different from the neck up when they pray to the God of heaven. Amen. Now, I know people like to quote the verse, well, man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. God's not blind. He sees the outward appearance too. And he says, when you pray, men and women are to look different. By the way, if the man doesn't, he dishonors Christ. If the woman doesn't, she dishonors her husband. He made them different. And he gave them different roles in the home. The world's trying to do away with all that. They don't like that. They don't want that. We're not free. Yeah, it's just like the laws that we have in this land. Why are there laws to keep you from doing wrong? And there is liberty within the law. You understand when it comes to God's word, God set boundaries, God made differences, and there's liberty within those boundaries. But outside of those boundaries, there's danger and death. See, God's smarter than man. He's smarter than all the men put together. He's smarter. And man does this. Man tries to break down the differences in a number of ways by confusing the appearance of the two. They're to be different. I don't need to turn to the book of Deuteronomy to prove that. Matter of fact, if you've been alive for at least a couple of years, you ought to know there are differences between men and women in appearance. You shouldn't even need a Bible for that. And isn't it funny how you've got a bunch of women out there, I don't know what else to call them, who think that there's something else, who've got this idea that men and women are equal in everything, then why are they upset about these transgendered boys running in their races? They win all of them. Have you noticed that? They win all of them. And so now you've got some of those gals rethinking their position and saying, you know, this isn't fair. Why isn't it fair? Why isn't it fair? Because they're boys. We were created. Oh, sure. There's going to be females that are stronger than some men. But as the species go, next, there's different. And we don't need to draw pictures. I think you probably got that. God made the distinction between men. We just believe the Bible. I've said this a few times, but these people have gotten such political power, they will destroy anybody who believes differently. You take Chick-fil-A, best chicken sandwiches on the planet. Chick-fil-A, some of the most expensive chicken sandwiches on the planet, but best. And I don't care how many people are in the line, you can get through it quick. But you can't today because they're closed on Sunday. Isn't that right? The founder of Chick-fil-A, the Cathy family, all they said was, we believe marriage is between a man and a woman. They said nothing about the sodomites. They said nothing about the lesbians. They said marriage is between a man and a woman. And for that, the governor of New York and the mayor of New York City said, we're not going to allow them in our state. They don't have a right to believe that. And that's what's happening. In other words, we got to believe some idiotic stupidity or we don't have a right to exist. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to believe the truth. And he made them male and female. Not only that, there's God's distinction between right and wrong. Go to chapter 2 of Genesis. Chapter 2. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now this is the main area where Satan first attacked. If we went over to Genesis chapter 3, we would find the serpent appearing to Eve. And he asked the woman, he says in verse 1, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, I'm not going to get mad at Eve because he said, neither shall ye touch it. You got to admit, even if she added that to God's word, it was true. If she never touched it, she wouldn't have been able to eat it. Personally, I don't think God said it. I don't think that she made it up. I think she got it from Adam. Because you see, when God made the statement of what they were not to eat of, Eve had not been created yet. And so Adam, as the husband, had the responsibility, when Eve came along, had the responsibility of teaching her. And no doubt, he wanted for the safety of his wife. Listen, don't even touch it. We're fine. But then she did her own study, thought she was smarter than God. And she not only touched it, she took it, she ate it, she gave it to him so that he'd eat it. And the big dummy ate it too. By the way, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, she ate because she was deceived. He ate and he knew better. Now God covers all of that. But you see, the difference between right and wrong. God's word is right. According to Romans chapter 7, it is holy. It is good. God's word is right. And he's the one who set the difference between right and wrong. In Psalm 119, 128, you know that's my last verse. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every. Oh, you shouldn't hate, preacher. God does. There's a lot of things God hates. And his people are to hate the things that he hates. And I hate every false way. Psalmist said, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Do you realize that God has not changed his mind about anything? He's God. Man, though, wants to destroy the distinction. God instructed the Old Testament priest in Leviticus 10:10. He said, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. And then in Ezekiel 44 and verse 23, he said, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. God condemned Israel because they tried to blur God's distinctions. In Exodus chapter, or Ezekiel 22 and verse 26, Scripture says this, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. In the New Testament, we're commanded over and over to walk a holy walk. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 that we are to be holy in all manner of conversation. Why? Because it is written, be therefore holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. Where was that written? Written back in the law in the book of Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. God expects his people in the New Testament times to walk just as holy as he expected his people in the Old Testament times to walk. God did not change from Old Testament to New Testament. He is exactly the same. We could read verses like Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. We could read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And God makes it very plain. There are things that are evil, and those are the things that are lifted up today, bragged about by the harlots and starlets and whoremongers that are out in Hollywood. And they're the ones that are tearing up the cities today. You've got to believe like they believe, or they want you destroyed. But here's the biggest difference of all. We talked about the difference between creator and creation, between male and female, between man and animal, all of that. But here's the biggest difference of all that God makes. It's between the saved and the lost. Amen. The difference between the saved and the lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 12. 1 John 5:12 declares, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You're either here or you're here. One or the other. Jesus said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You're either here or here. There's a vast difference between saved and lost. In John 3:36, he says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Gigantic difference between the saved and the lost. And because God was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, he put his Son on the cross of Calvary so that we could go to heaven when we die. He died, paid our sin debt through his precious blood. Was buried. He rose 3 days later from the dead so that all who would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ could have eternal life. Now, Jesus wants everybody to be here. He that hath the Son hath life. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's what Jesus wants. But man, anything but God, I want to do my own thing. Well, you walk around without Jesus and die, then you end up in hell for eternity. The difference between saved and lost is the difference between heaven and hell. There's no place in the middle. There's no place that you get to go and have your sins burned off for a while. There's no purgatory. You either go to heaven or hell. Period. That's it. But see, man wants to keep trying to break it down and give you hope for something else. They don't want to just simply believe what God said. Wherever Jesus went, there was division. wherever he went. John 7:43, so there was division among the people because of him. In John 9:16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. In John 10:19, there was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. You see, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. To take Jesus is to take the way, the truth, the life. To not take Jesus is to stay in a lie, to be in the wrong way, and to have no life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Say, preacher, how do I get life? But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. You can have it today. But you, by faith, must come to Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. Say, well, preacher, I don't like the difference. You take it up with God, he's not changing his mind. He's not changing his mind. The gods of Marvel comic books aren't going to help you. They'll just keep you in the demonic away from Christ and keep you lost. You must come to Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.